Amen. I never hadn't heard that one before. Very, very good. I'm so glad Jesus died for me, aren't you? Died for my sins. And I know some of you, our church is used to getting out pretty close to on time. So I know some of you are looking at your watch. And so I'd ask if you would to keep in mind that we have Brother Holmes is preaching. He's 87 years young. He pastored the Bethel Baptist Church in Grapevine for 42 years. And what a man of faith. I remember going to his church when I was a teenager, going to youth rallies. Really looked forward to Taco Bueno afterwards, but I enjoyed going there when I was a kid. And so it's good to have him this morning. And again, just I would just ask you this morning to kind of give us a little extra time and let him preach and do his thing. Come on, Brother Holmes, appreciate him.
Well, you see that?
Yes, sir. I saw you.
Well, that's what he said. Yeah. Well, it is good to be here today. And I'll tell you, watching all of those videos, those people coming home, it brought back memories. Yeah. See, I left home as a 17-year-old kid. After quitting school, went to Texas, Waco, looking for work. Couldn't find any, so in February 1948, I joined the Army. After basic training, I was shipped out to Japan. The Korean War started. I was then sent to Korea. And when I went home, I left home on a Greyhound bus going south. And I come home on a train coming in from the north, from Chicago. We didn't have the modern communications then as we have now. So nobody knew that I was really coming home. When I got home, I got a taxi because my folks had moved and I didn't know where they lived. But they knew that sometime I would be arriving, but didn't know when. When the taxi pulled up in front of the house, my dad was the first out of the house. And for the first time in my life, I heard him say, "I love you." It was a good homecoming. Well, if you have your Bible, and I trust you do, go to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. And if you start at Matthew and go over to 2 Timothy, some of you stop at Luke, chapter 23. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and then a verse from Luke, chapter 23. Beginning with verse 1. "Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Amen. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. For no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." Are you saved this morning? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Did you know that you are a soldier in God's army?
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Luke chapter 23, just for a setting of a verse there in verse 33. "And when they come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lot. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the King of the Jews. Our Heavenly Father, we'd ask your blessings upon our time today. And God, we realize that we have many veterans that's here from all branches of service. And God, we thank them for the services that they've rendered to this country. Now, Father, bless the reading of the word and the preaching thereof. And may when we leave this place today, may every soldier, sailor, airman, marine, and coast guardsman know that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, in whose name I pray. Amen. Our text is about an old soldier by the name of Paul. He's not in the army of Rome. He's not in the army of Israel. But he is a soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. Timothy is to learn more than theology from Paul. He is to learn to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I thank God I was born in America. Amen. Am I telling that right? As a little boy, I had a view of America that made me proud because ours was a country of principle and decency and righteousness. Amen. But that was some time ago. But it's still the best country there is. Am I telling that right? As a young man, I had the privilege of fighting for what this nation stands for and defeat the spread of communism in Korea. As a mature man, I still get a chill when I see our American flag waving in the breeze and hear our national anthem. And as an old soldier, I still get a tear in my eye when I hear those 24 notes of taps that's played over those who have given the ultimate sacrifice for this country. And as a Christian, I am thankful for the freedom and liberty we have and that I am a soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. Am I? God and America has always been joined together. Right. America was founded on Christian faith, inspired by Christian love, guided by Christian truth, nurtured by Christian prayer, and protected by the men and women who wear the uniform of America. Amen. Yes, we have a Liberty Bell, and we have a Statue of Liberty. And can I tell you that they are not safeguards for the future because one is cracked and the other is corroded. Oh, I'm telling you, when I joined the Army February the 20th, Uncle Sam put me in uniform. I want to tell you it was the best dress I've ever been in my life. I could wear my shoes all day long. Y'all remember when you got home, you had to take your shoes off? That's all you had when you got home from school? Y'all don't remember those days? Am I telling off on me? But we did. We had to, and when I joined the Army, I could wear them shoes all the time. When I was discharged, February the 19th, 1956, I took the uniform off. And I've learned this. You military men know this, I'm sure. When you get home and you take your uniform off and hang it up in the closet, and you go back 20 years to try to put that uniform on, it shrinks. Though it's made out of the best material possible. Oh, I'm telling you. When I joined God's army December the 9th, 1956, God put me in uniform. Amen. And if you want to know what your uniform is, you go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and begin reading with verse 11, where God has given to you the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. He shod you with the preparation of gospel of peace and given you the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, that we may fight and defend ourselves. America's military has fought in nearly every part of the world. But it all comes to, we've had the men and women who fly the planes, man the ships, drive the trucks, and carry the rifles. I entered Korea in 1950, and here was my weapon. I've got stuff scattered all over up here. An M1 rifle. The M1 Garand. You learn all you can about this rifle, your weapon, because your life depends upon it. You learn the muscle velocity, how many rounds it holds. You learn all about its capabilities. You keep it clean because your physical life depends upon it. Can I tell you today that this is a soldier's weapon? The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And you need to learn to use it well because your spiritual life depends upon it. Am I telling that right? Now, I was also given a bayonet. It goes on the rifle just like this. That's for close-in fighting. You don't want to get in close-in fighting. But can I tell you, as a Christian, you need to learn the Word of God, because the devil will mess with your mind, and that's close-in fighting. He'll tell you the Word of God is not true. But can I tell you, you need to learn it, because the Word of God is true. You not only have your rifle and the bayonet for close-in fighting, but can I tell you, my weapon of choice. You say, what that's for? That's for when you're ganged up on. When a whole bunch is coming at you. You don't put that in your mouth and pull that pin like John Wayne. That'll jerk your teeth out. But you pull that pin and you lob it. You don't throw it like a baseball. You have to lob it. If you don't, it'll hurt your arm. That's when you're ganged up on. Did you know sometimes John 3:16 is not enough? You need to learn the Word of God. Now, when a soldier is killed in combat, there is a group that comes behind all the fighting forces. They take care of the wounded. And if one is dead, they'll put the bayonet on the rifle. Oh, it didn't. It wants to lean, doesn't it? And then with the steel helmet, it's put on the butt of the rifle. Combat boots set there. And that marks the place of a fallen soldier. What kind of men are these that we remember on this Veterans Day? For the heroism, their services, their successes, and their sacrifices. Most but citizen soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen. Men and women from our schools and our college campuses. Men and women not dedicated to the art of war. They're not skilled in the art of war. But it's the soldier that's inspired by the sublime cause to defend their country, their native land, the home of their birth and childhood. What kind of men are these who lay down their life on the altar of our country's needs? These citizen soldiers, these comrade in arms, men who know the call of the bugle at reveille and taps at the end of the day, men who go into battle to hear the whine of the bullet, the ceaseless rattle of the machine gun, and the distant cry of a fallen buddy. What kind of men are these common men with uncommon valor? Men who force march by day, live in the hole in the ground at night, weakened by battle, but on they go till they stop and die. They burn out in minutes all that life owe them in tranquil years. I have grown old. And on the photo gallery of my mind, many of the men that I fought with, they're just kids, where I have grown to be an old man. What kind of men are these who marched to unknown fame, where today a white cross or a government marker marks the place of their memory? As we celebrate this Veterans Day, we may not know the dignity of their birth, the joys and sorrows of their life, but we should always remember the sacrifice of their death. Yet today I want to tell you of a far greater war, the greatest war that's ever been fought. From the Civil War to today, the war on terrorism, this war involved the whole world. It is a war between right and wrong, good and evil, righteousness and unrighteousness, and it took place on Calvary. The cross marks the place where Christ died. Amen. Thus we have the message, the soldier, and the cross. When Jesus died, he died for the sins of the world. Amen. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Did you ever count the words in John 3:16? 25 words. No matter, you can start at the front and count back 13 words. It's the word Son. Or you can start at the end of the verse with the word life and count back 13th word is Son. Oh, there it is. Sit there. Did you get that? In the King James now I'm talking about. I don't know about them other kind. I don't get into them.
Amen.
But the 13th word, the very center word of John 3:16 is Son. You go in with God's love. You meet the Son. And you come out with everlasting life.
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
All Calvary. Calvary. Where we see man at his worst and God at his best. Calvary is where we see the Son of God dies that the sons of men might live. Calvary is where the angels wept and the devil rejoiced. Calvary is where the sins of the world was laid upon him who knew no sin. Calvary is where we see the depth of human sin and the height of divine grace. Calvary is where the cry of triumph was heard. It's finished. You say, "Preacher, what was finished?" Everything necessary for your salvation is finished. The victim had become the victor. The sacrifice for our sins has been paid for on Calvary. Oh, I'm just trying to tell you, on the cross, this war between righteousness and unrighteousness was being waged, a war that affected the whole world. The soldier. The soldier's been involved in war for hundreds of years. When he died supposedly to give us a peace. But we don't have peace. We're still at war today. But this one here, when he died, he gives us a peace that passes all understanding.
Amen.
This one here, the blood of the soldier, whenever he died, he shed his blood for his home, his family, his country. But this one here, when he died, he shed his blood for the whole world.
Amen.
What can wash away my sins? But the blood of Jesus. Oh, listen. And when they say the war is over, it's finished. It's not finished. But when this one cried, it's finished.
Amen.
It's finished. Everything necessary for our salvation. Just think. The soldier is made in the image of God. Yet, Jesus was the Son of God made in the image of man. Think about it. This soldier, when he died a natural death. Yes, there was something, a bullet or something that took his life on the battlefield, but his heart stopped beating, his blood stopped flowing. But this one, when he died, before he died, he said, "No man take my life from me, but I lay it down that I might take it up again." And bless God, he did. Oh, I wish I could describe him to you. He is King of kings and he's Lord of lords. His office is manifold. His promises are sure. And his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His grace is sufficient. And he can walk on water. Hot dog, I wish I could describe him to you. You can't outlive him and you can't live without him. Am I telling this right? The Pharisees couldn't stand him and neither could they stop him. I mean, Pilate couldn't find fault with him and Herod couldn't kill him. That's my Savior. You can't kill God. What weapon would you use? You try to destroy him with the law and he'll break it. You try to destroy him with water, he'll walk on it. You try to destroy him with fire, he'll refuse to burn. Oh, you can't destroy him. Oh, I'm just trying to tell you. You try to destroy him by putting him in the grave and he'll rise again. Oh, I'm just telling you. The blood of the soldier was for our life and liberty. The blood of Jesus was for the world. The soldier died to give us the American way of life. Jesus died to give us eternal life. The soldier, not one drop of blood has brought peace. But this one gives you a peace you can't understand. This one, we know what he is. These are like us. He's one of us. Son of man. This one here was the Son of God.
Amen.
He laid down his life that you and I might be saved. When you go to this one and they see that rifle sticking up with the helmet and the combat boots at the butt, they knew there is no hope. Stay with me now. But you get over to the cross. You don't stop at the cross. You go to the empty tomb.
Amen.
And that's our only hope.
Amen.
Our hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You know, the metaphor of the soldier is very appropriate. I was a soldier in the U.S. Army. Now, I'm a soldier of Jesus Christ. When I joined the Army as a 17-year-old kid, I learned that there were some qualifications and requirements, and there were some responsibilities and duties that I was to perform. I remember that. I remember standing in ranks one morning. I was standing there, you know, at attention. Sergeant walked up and looked at me and said, "Soldier, did you shave today?" I said, "No, sir, I don't shave." "Was you issued a razor?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You get back in that barracks and shave. And if you just a rookie like me, Drill sergeant tells you, go shave, you go shave. I run back in there and I lathered up real good, put that soap on my face, got that military issued razor out, and man, I mean, you talk about shaving. And I run back out and got in ranks, and he looked at me, he said, now that's better. You will shave every day in this man's army. Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't even have a blade and a razor. I was afraid of cutting myself. Every morning I shaved for a long time without a blade in the razor. You know, they didn't know the difference. But when I joined the Army, the doctors gave me a physical. They looked me over, I'm telling you, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. They give me a thorough examination, and then they gave me shots for all manner of diseases. Well, can I tell you that when I got saved, Dr. Jesus looked me over. You go to Romans chapter 13 and you'll find your problem. I found out that my throat was an open sepulcher. My tongue was used for deceit. My lips had the poison of asp. My mouth was full of cursing. My feet were swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery was in my way. The law of peace I did not know, and I had no fear of God before my eyes. And I thought I was pretty good. But Dr. Jesus said, I can operate. Yes, he did. He said, I can give you a heart and make your heart right. I can make you look right. I can make you stand right, talk right, hear right, do right, and put a song in your heart. That's what Dr. Jesus can do for you. I am a soldier was a soldier in the army of Uncle Sam. But now I'm a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, tutored by my pastor, tempted by Satan, tried by experience, and tested by fire. I have enlisted for eternity, and I will only get out through death or rapture, whichever one comes first. I am a soldier in God's army. I'm telling you, I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or be pushed out. And as long as I'm a soldier, I'm going to be faithful, reliable, and dependable. I'm just trying to tell you, I am a soldier. I'm not a baby. I do not need to be pampered or petted. I do not need to be primed up, pumped up, picked up, or propped up. I'm a soldier of Jesus Christ. No one need call me, remind me, or write me, visit me, or lure me to go to church. I'm going to be there. I'm a soldier in God's army. I am not a wimp. I will be in my place performing my duties when it comes time to do so. I am a soldier and I am committed. You don't need to send me flowers, gifts, cards, or candies. I don't need to be cuddled, cradled, or cared for. I'm just trying to tell you, I'm a soldier in God's army. And if you're saved, you ought to be a soldier and dedicated to the cause of Jesus Christ. That's what he died for. This one died to give us freedom and liberty in America. This one died to give us freedom and liberty in Christ. Galatians chapter 1, or chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. The testimony of the centurion in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 54. After he saw all the lightning, the earthquakes, and everything that happened, here's what he said. Truly, this man was the Son of God. That ought to be the testimony of every boy and girl, every veteran in this place, everyone sitting in here, the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. And if you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you need to do it. And if you're a soldier in God's army, bless God, report for duty. Amen. When it's time for the worship service of our Lord. And if you're unsaved, there'll be people here today that can show you from the Word of God how you can be a Christian and a soldier in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, we'd ask your blessings upon our time today. And God, and I pray that if there's one here that knows not Christ, that this will be the time that they'll come. And Father, we know that our country needs prayer today. And perhaps these folks will find a place at this altar and pray for this nation. And God, for every soldier, sailor, airman, and marine that stood today, I pray, God, that you'll bless their lives. And God, use them in a special way, because they know what it means to be disciplined and to be on time and to perform the duties that's assigned to them. So God, you bless this time together, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.